When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian. All right, who has not taken advantage of the week free trial of the fitness app yet? Check it out. It is a one-stop shop for all your fitness, nutrition, and wellness needs. Custom meal plans, personalized workout programs, meditations, sleep programs, community, support, and so much more. You can use it on any device, anywhere, any place, anytime. No equipment needed, or all the equipment in the world is in there. There's yoga, there's kickboxing, there's audio only workouts, there's HIIT training, weight loss programs, prenatal programs, anything and everything you can think of is in the fitness app. And if you go to thefitnessapp.com/podcastdeal, you can get 25% off an annual subscription for $89.99 a year. So check it out and start your free trial today.
Welcome to Keeping It Real, Conversations with Jillian Michaels.
All right, guys. Today's conversation is with Master Coach Christine Hassler. Got such good feedback from her. You guys loved her, and she's going to be on the show today to talk about expectation hangovers, which I actually don't think I need to explain. I think the title kind of says it all right there.
Yeah, it does. It sure does.
But she's got a whole book on it, actually. I probably should have read it first. But what do you do when you have access to the author? You just cheat. This is like the story of my freaking adult life. I'll give you my recent one. Like, we talked recently about, you know, when the kids were coming to Florida for the first time to see their, you know, their new house and the new rooms. And it was like, it couldn't have gone worse. And I literally had imagined, like, for months, this fantasy of them walking into the house and it being perfect. Right. And then, you know, I've never wanted to get married. I was never married to Heidi. I didn't want to get married. Didn't believe in it. And, finally kind of got to this place where I was like, okay, look, I don't know that I believe in it per se, as in, like, I'm not so sure everything lasts forever because people change. Like, they really do, which is a show unto itself. And I mean, change in ways that are unrecognizable. Mm-hmm. I really do feel that way. I've seen it happen many times. I know I'm a very different person for better. I like to think for much better, but than I was a decade ago or 20 years ago. I'm a totally different human. Anyway, hence the reason marriage is one of the reasons marriage has always scared me. But I finally got to this place with Deshanna where I was like, okay, it's been 3 years, right? And she's always said to me, like, I'm fine with your kids. Cause like, you know, in the beginning, this was a big talk about the kids and whatever. And she was like, but I'm not okay with not being married. I'm not, just so you know. And, you know, that was years ago when we first started dating. So I was like, well, all right, it's been 3 years. I've moved across the country with this person who moved across the country with me. She deals with me and all my baggage, and there's a lot of it. And we've been through almost 2 years of COVID now. Like my divorce, because I wasn't fully divorced from Heidi. Like we've been through a lot. Like not what you and Lori went through. You know, we're friggin' getting over ovarian cancer. But like, God help me. I don't know how you did that. But we've been through a lot, enough that I'm think to myself, like, all right, I've seen some tough situations. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've seen us through. Yeah. Like
2 years of COVID you get to know a lot about the new person in your life.
And she's been, I mean, like, I'm not going to lie. I think just, it is not an easy role stepping into a dynamic with, you know, we talked about this with Dr. Wednesday Martin. It's like stepping into the role of like, step parent. And then the person has this whole other life with that they have to deal with their ex because they have to co-parent. And that's always filled with struggle, or not always, but most people I know have a definite degree of difficulty there. Anyway, so I got to this place where I was like, okay, right? Like I will actually do this. And you know, I had asked Heidi because of everything that was going on in our relationship. But I think we both knew that it was ending. That's the irony. It was like, should we get married to salvage this? And, you know, is that what we should do? But the reality is that that relationship we were done a year later. We were really not doing well at the time. But I guess I thought like, maybe this will fix it. Maybe this will make her the person that she was when I met her. You know what I mean? I think I had this fantasy that like, all right, if I do this, will the person that I met be back?
Isn't that amazing to think I'm sure at the time it seemed like, oh, this is all that's missing. If she just had that, she'd be fine. But when you look back on it, how could that make it fine? Right?
Yeah, I know. In all fairness, when Heidi got pregnant with Phoenix, I never saw the person that I met ever again, never again. And I mean, I'm not going to say like, she will tell you I like me so much more, just like I like me so much more now. But the woman that I met, I never saw again, ever, never saw her again. And I think I just kept thinking like, at some point you're going to be like that person again, right? Like at some point, what do I have to, you know? And there were things that anyway, so I thought maybe that would, but like deep down, we both knew it wasn't going to work. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it didn't
absolutely
happen. So with this one, with DeShanna, it was a big deal for me to go, okay, right? Like, all right, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do it and it's going to be perfect.
Jillian, perfect, Jillian.
Right? And I talked to the kids about it first and how they felt about it. And, you know, we were doing this as a family and inviting her to be a member of our family. And, you know, like, oh my God, Phoenix wanted to design the ring. And of course there were some ground rules there, but like, you know, and like, there was a whole thing that we were going to do. And it was going to be a big surprise, and her family was going to be there. And like the kid, like, and to make a very long story short, none of that happened. And she ended up finding out about it and the whole thing. And then we couldn't do, and it's like, so now everything is, she knows, and she knows about the ring. She's seen the ring. Like, and she's like, well, I still expect you to do something. I'm like, well, what is the point? You already know. You know everything and nothing happened. You know, and it's like, it's just, it couldn't have been more inside out, upside down, ass backwards, screwed up, you know, like just an absolute mess. And it's like, I mean, Cindy, like if I wanted this experience to be blue, it was not only not a shade of blue. It wasn't a new, it was bright red. Like what's the opposite end of that color spectrum, right? What is the like complete to the, it's the same story every time. Every time. And I'm having a hard time, like these are not real problems, but getting, do you know, like,
yeah, that's just a real life example of what fills deeper sections of our lives when we have expectations.
Jeez, girl. And it's almost as though the universe is punching me dead in the face. I'm just not sure why. Like it couldn't have gone, like, I'm like, how does this go so backwards? How does it turn out this way? And I mean, like it could, like anything and everything that could have gone sideways did, just like when the kids came out. So I find that I do this professionally. I find that I do it personally. And I find that it's discouraging for me. It throws me off in a really big way. And I'm not a person that is incapable of looking for lessons. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's funny because I just find that this whole last year and a half plus has me living more in the moment than in the planning of, because planning has been like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll be home in October. Maybe. But it makes me want to say, you know what? I'm going to say I will. And if I'm not, I'm not. And that's going to be okay. As opposed to, well, I'm not making any plans because I don't know what's going to happen. So
yeah,
I don't know. It's a hard balance to maintain, but you know, disappointment is real. It's a real thing. So
it's just, I can't figure out if it's like what it exactly it is that has me so upset about these things.
Which that's is why weird, we have Christine.
That's why we have Christine. So well, okay, you're saying break. That's fine. We'll take a quick break for the sponsors, and we'll be right back with Master Coach Christine Hassler. So I've been talking about how much I love my Third Love Classic T-shirt bra for a really long time, and how much I love that it's easy to find an amazing fit by taking their online fitting room quiz. But did you know that Third Love also has sleep and loungewear? They've even got a new seamless collection of wireless bras and form-fitting stretchy underwear that disappears under your clothes. And here's another thing I love about Third Love. By partnering with local organizations, they are now the largest donor of undergarments in the United States, donating over $40 million in product to help women make powerful changes. Third Love knows you deserve to feel comfortable and confident 24/7. So right now they're offering my listeners 20% off your first order. You just go to thirdlove.com/Jillian now and find your perfect fitting bra. Then get 20% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/Jillian for 20% off today. thirdlove.com/Jillian. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian. All right, guys, we are back with a friend of mine and life coach extraordinaire, Christine Hassler. And so selfishly, I want to talk about one of your three books, mm-hmm. Expectation Hangover, Free Yourself mm-hmm. from Your Past, Change Your Present, and Get What You Really Want. And I also want to talk about your podcast, which is Over It and On With It, where you coach people live on the show. I want to get to that in a minute. But you know the drill with me now. I have expectation hangover like crazy, and I want you to fix it.
Okay. Well, I don't want to leave you in
I know that this is the root of misery.
I'm not going to guarantee I can.
Girl, like I get it. People are like, stop having an expectation of things. Like just let life be, just let it play out. But that's great, Christine. Like how do you not? How do you have goals without having expectation?
I actually don't advocate that you shouldn't have expectation hangovers. I actually advocate that you leverage them.
Mm-hmm. Explain. Okay, explain. Please explain. Just go.
I'll do my best. So expectation hangovers happen when desired result isn't met, things don't go according to plan, or
they never
things go according to plan, right? Or things go according to plan, but you don't feel like you thought you would. Like you get into this great relationship, you have a great job, but it doesn't solve all your problems. Or life just throws you an unexpected curveball, which we could just be like 2020 into 2021, right? One big expectation hangover for so many of us. Wow, and we're left with hangover-like symptoms, regret, disappointment, lack of motivation, our head is spinning. And all we want to do
makes you feel defeated, dude. Defeated. Like you're like, what more mm-hmm. can I do? And I find that like, I gave a few of the examples before you came on the show. But I was just talking about how like my kids were going to see the house in Florida for the first time. And I had like all that, and it was a disaster. Or like it was a freaking disaster. Or like I was going to propose to Deshanna. It was just ruined. And you just think, no matter what I do, I can't get this here. Right. You know, I don't often have the one personally where you achieve it and it doesn't feel great. I'm always just one step shy of
of it going as planned. Yeah, I get it. And it makes sense. Like you're extremely accomplished. You're incredibly intelligent. You like things to go a certain way. And honestly, we all do as humans. One thing that we are in love with as humans is certainty. We like a good old surprise party every once in a while, or like an upgrade to first class out of surprise. But in terms of, you know, the kind of curveballs that come, or your kids coming to see the house for the first time and it going sideways, that's not the kind of uncertainty that we like. And so we're not really taught as humans how to navigate uncertainty. You know, we may get a necklace that says surrender or a tattoo that says let go. But when it comes to actually doing it, it's really challenging. And so I don't set the expectation that you should have no expectations, because I don't know if as a human being, that's incredibly possible, because we have expectations, and it's kind of hard to separate expectations from goals. So my work as a human, right, having my own expectation hangover,
right.
I wrote this book after my divorce. And then as a coach, coaching people since 2004, is that there's magic in them. And every disappointment is an opportunity for growth. And every disappointment, there's an opportunity to go, what does this remind me of? When has this happened before? How am I reacting and choosing to respond? And what's the lesson in it? Because there's what happens, and then there's what we make it mean. And what we make it mean is so much more powerful and impactful on our lives than what actually happens. So for you, with these repeated expectation hangovers, it wouldn't be looking at what am I doing wrong in terms of it not going the way I want, but how am I responding in a way that isn't for my highest good? Maybe my inner critic comes up, or my judge comes up, or my control freak comes up. And how can I learn to respond to disappointment in a different way? Like that's the juicy lesson.
This feeling of helplessness that like it cannot be manhandled. And that makes me crazy. Like I think to myself, everything I've done, everything I've like worked on, all the effort I put into it, and I still, it's, you know, I'm like this, like a tantruming child that cannot bend the world to my will.
Right. And I remember what we talked about on our last interview, that this, if we go back to the actual child, not the tantruming child, but the actual child of feeling out of control, feeling like all the child wanted was her world to be calm, her world to be predictable, not to feel like the rug was pulled out from under her. So every time you try to soothe yourself by planning things to go a certain way, and then they don't, that inner child gets triggered and goes, oh no, not this again. Oh no, not this feeling of feeling helpless again. I hate this feeling.
Ugh,
and that's the healing opportunity. It's like really learn how to be with that helplessness and respond to it, because it's natural to have frustration. Listen, I get super frustrated when things don't go my way according to plan. Like, and the first person I point the finger at is myself. So I get it. But what I've had to learn is find compassion for myself in those moments, because there's the adult me that's going through the experience. And then there's also parts of me, like the inner child, who feels so out of control and so scared. And if I'm judging myself and feeling helpless, I'm not soothing myself and really giving myself what I need. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. I have heard the opposite, right? Like going way back to the, sorry, Cindy, but Cindy, I talked about EST. I don't know if you're familiar with that. I actually didn't ever really read the book, but you know, a lot of those kind of workshops back in the day, or Agape, all that, it was, you know, oh, you know, expectation is going to lead to misery. And I just had always thought that's not possible. It felt very much to me like unconditional love. And I thought that sounds ridiculous. Like if someone punches me in the face, I'm not going to be.
You're not going to get them lemonade. Yeah.
I'm not going to be unconditional about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, that to me sounded so absurd that I couldn't even begin. So at least if you're starting me out with, it's okay to have expectations.
Totally okay.
That then I've got somewhere to go from there.
Totally okay. I'd rather help people. And that's what the book is about. It's not about not having expectations, because you're human. You're going to have
it's them. It's not human, right? It's not possible. It's human thing. We're not monks.
And we can say, well, expectations are different than goals. And I talk about the difference in the book, but I know very few people who don't have emotional attachment to things that matter to them. You know, it's like, have no expectations about falling in love. Have no expectations about if your child is going to be okay. Have no expectations about the money you're going to make. And it's hard for people to be in that. And so I just let that all go. And I say, it's not about not having expectations. It's learning how to navigate having less attachment to them. Like one thing that I always, whenever I'm pursuing anything, a goal, a dream, whatever, I do so with high involvement and intention, but low attachment, meaning I give it my all, I'm in it, I see it's going to happen, but I don't base my okayness, my sense of worth, my mental state on the outcome of it happening. Because a lot of people are afraid of letting expectations go because they think they're going to lose their mojo. They think they're going to lose
your motivation. Of course.
Right. If I don't have expectations, then, you know, I'm just going to be a bump on a log sitting around watching reality TV all day. Not true. It's about, okay, I have my expectations, or I have my intentions. I like that word better. I have my goals. I'm going to pursue them with high involvement, but low attachment. And if I end up with an expectation hangover, I'm not going to punish myself for having expectations, because that's a very human thing. Instead, I'm going to follow the steps I go through in the book and learn how to heal and leverage that expectation hangover, so I don't have to have the same one over and over and over again. Because I found with any of my expectation hangovers, if I go in and I work with them, the time between expectation hangovers is longer, and the duration of time I spend suffering in an expectation hangover is shorter, because I'm learning what I need to learn. Disappointment is a catalyst for learning. Every single person that comes to me, whether as a client or to retreat, or they call into the podcast, it's not because everything's going great and they just want to chat. It's because there's a disappointment. There's an expectation hangover. And it's usually those things that open people up to see things a different way and to new possibilities and to maybe deal with some stuff that they haven't dealt with.
Okay. I get the silver lining. I'm with you on the silver lining. And I can look for the lesson. I'm good at that.
Yeah.
But in looking for the lesson, you think that it mitigates the next one and just makes it easier to handle, but it wouldn't prevent it, obviously, because the world remains out of my control. I'm not omnipotent. So it just allows you to tolerate it better, is what you're saying.
Tolerate.
There's no hangover to the setback.
And sometimes it can prevent it. I mean, I have to say, I really leveraged the expectation hangover of my divorce.
Explain this to me. I want to hear about this. And then I want to talk about that other kind you mentioned where you get what you want and you're not happy.
Yeah.
Because I haven't had that problem. So explain the divorce one to me.
Well, so I got divorced when I was like 31 years old, when everybody else was getting married and starting to have babies and doing all that kind of stuff. And there was nothing terribly wrong with the marriage, but it just wasn't right either. Like there's a part of me that just knew wasn't for either one
forever.
Of us. Like
right.
forever. Like the, it just, we weren't well matched for the forever part. And so when I got divorced, and before that I had a broken engagement. So I had so much shame and so much failure come up and really thought that I was just getting a big old F in relationships. And I got, you know, I had that temptation to just get over it, to start dating someone else, to throw myself into my work, to just distract myself or numb myself so that like time could heal all wounds, which is the biggest lie. Time does not heal all wounds. It really doesn't. It just like buries them deeper, deeper, deeper. And you just end up feeling them more. And so I decided I'm going to like really feel everything with this divorce, because an expectation hangover isn't just about that singular event. It's triggering every similar feeling that you've had. So it didn't just trigger the grief of losing my husband at the time. It was the grief of every heartbreak, every relationship failure, every time I felt rejected, every time I felt unseen. So I really let myself go into the grief and go into the emotions, because that's the part we as humans avoid the most. We avoid the raw feelings, the really ugly cries, the yelling and the screaming, the rage, the shame. We want to think our way through something and process mentally. It's harder to get into the body and actually feel somatically what we're going through. And so I really allowed myself to feel everything without analysis, without anything, just whatever was coming up. And then I started to look at patterns and look at my belief system and look at, you know, what got me into that marriage and what kept me there. And then I started to really look at, okay, what are the lessons that I'm learning here so that I don't have to repeat this again? Like, why was I so attracted to this kind of person? Like, why was that what I drew into my life?
Oh,
and
God,
if it didn't work, why?
Of course.
And how do I prevent that from happening again? And then finally, the spiritual level was accepting it. The first law of spirituality is acceptance. You can't fight with reality. It's just, it doesn't mean you like it. Doesn't mean it's your preference, but you accept it. And then really looked for the lessons in terms of, okay, to get woo-woo for a second, you know, my soul chose this experience. I believe that Earth is a school and we're all learning and we're all growing. Every single experience, every single interaction is for our growth and is for us to learn something. Maybe not, you know, going to the grocery store, but expectation hangovers, the big events, they're all for our learning and growth. So I really looked at, okay, what can I really learn from this? And I was able to identify why I attracted that kind of relationship, that kind of marriage, what kept me in it. And, you know, I never went through something like that again. I didn't attract the same kind of partners. I made sure I didn't get married again. I'm married now, but I made sure I didn't get married again until it was totally different, until I really felt that all in kind of feeling. And honestly, I never had to go through another breakup from my divorce to my marriage now. I never had to go through another breakup that intensely because I really cleaned up so much in that divorce.
That makes perfect sense. I do understand what you're saying.
Good.
I get it. I want to talk about that second scenario. We have to take a quick break and we will be right back talking about expectation hangovers with Christine Hassler. All right. Everyone knows by now how much I love Skims underwear because I mentioned them a ton and I've been wearing them forever. I mean, I guess specifically a year and change. That's not forever in my life. If I can stick with something for longer than 30 days, it's forever. So this is big for me. And let me tell you, they are worth the hype. From the support they give to their amazing shape, and best of all, they're super comfortable. Whether it's the weightless scoop bra, the fits everybody plunge bra, the fits everybody t-shirt bra, I just get them in sand. You don't see them under anything at all. They're awesome. They're comfortable. I don't even realize I'm wearing them. They go with everything. So shop Skims bras at skims.com now, available in 62 sizes from 38 to 46H. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. So after you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows. Okay, who's tired of fasting or cleanses that just leave you hungry and exhausted instead of rejuvenated and energized? Well, Prolon is the scientifically proven meal plan solution you've been waiting for. Prolon is a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making the cells believe they're fasting. Researched and developed for decades at the University of Southern California Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, Prolon helps promote healthy blood sugar, support cardiovascular health, and reduce abdominal fat. But Prolon isn't a diet. Prolon is science. Science based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. And this all starts with Prolon's five-day program, snacks, soups, and beverages, all designed to keep your body in a fasting state. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. I did it for 5 days because I've had the absolute hardest time with straight fasts for even 24 hours, and it was a game changer for me. So right now, Prolon is offering Keeping It Real Conversations with Jillian Michaels listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Just go to prolonlife.com/Jillian. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian for this special offer. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian. What's the easiest choice you can make? Soup or salad? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From your online start to your first 1,000,000 orders, Shopify's there to help you grow. No matter what your product is, they can help you sell it everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, Shopify can help you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average than other leading commerce platforms. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Jillian, all lowercase. Just go to shopify.com/Jillian now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Jillian.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
All right, guys, we are back with life coach and best-selling author, Christine Hassler. You and I, of course, were talking about expectation hangovers before the break. And you described a scenario that I personally haven't experienced, but I know a lot of people have. And I've never, to be fair, I've never really thought about it because it's never been an issue of mine, where you do get the corner office that you wanted, or you do land the guy of your dreams and you have 2 point whatever kids, you know, in the picket fence or whatever it is that you thought you wanted, you get, and then it's still not right.
Yeah.
And I, a lot of people have said this. What is that? Is that us trying to fix something externally, but not fixing what's broken internally, like some sort of yes. cliche, but is that it?
Yes. I mean, I think I might have talked a little bit about this when we first talked, but that was my career. That was my first career, you know, as an agent in Hollywood.
Right.
And what drove me to be there was just massive insecurity and feeling like I didn't fit in anywhere. And the entertainment industry was sort of like the high school experience that I was trying to recapture. Yeah. And so it was that like looking for something outside of me. And I see this so much in my practice, looking for something outside to fill a void inside. And it's not so much about us being broken, because I don't believe human beings are ever broken. I think that we're wounded. I think we get hurt. I think we have voids. I think we have pains. But I believe that every human being has all the resources they need inside of them to, you know, be whole and complete and happy and fulfilled. And no one's ever broken.
But every human being?
Almost every. I mean, I'm not counting people that are like, you know, there. I'm sure that we can find some exceptions to the rule, but I would say,
Dahmer. Yeah.
People listening to this podcast right now,
yeah,
I wouldn't put you in the broken people category. But we judge ourselves as broken. You know, we're so hard on ourselves. Oh my gosh, if we were as hard on our friends as we were on ourselves, we would have zero friends. because we can just be ruthless with ourselves. But that feeling of that expectation hangover of, okay, I achieved this thing, I reached X, and I thought X was going to make me feel confident or successful or fulfilled. And then it doesn't, because nothing outside of us can ever fill an internal void. That's a rude awakening for so many people, because they're like, okay, well, I'm in this job, or I'm in this relationship, or I've moved to this city, or I've lost this weight, but this nagging feeling of insecurity or not enoughness is not going away. Now what do I do?
And then the more monster sets in all the time.
Yep.
It's what you say.
Yep.
Oh my God, girl, I still feel fat. I still feel this. I'm still not ready. It's still not good enough. And you're from the outside, you're looking at their before and after picture. And I'm like, you're good. You're done here with that. So whatever it is, you're healthy.
Because they haven't dealt with, well, first, what started the emotional eating in the first place? Like food became both the escape and the soother. And that's what's so hard about relationships with food is, you know, we need food. It's not like alcohol where we can just totally abstain. But food for so many people, especially as children and young adults, it becomes, because we need pleasure. The human psyche and body needs pleasure, and it also needs soothing. And so when there's a lot of trauma or big emotions and things that people can't handle, food becomes the thing that like gives me pleasure because I'm in so much pain. And it becomes like a parent. It soothes me. It like calms my nervous system down. And so when people shift their relationship with food in their body, but they haven't found, you know, that soothing and that nurturing, and they haven't really dealt with the wounds that got them to a place of being unhealthy, then it's like, man, I've lost all this weight, but I'm still me. Like I still, the same demons still haunt me.
That's so true. And it leaves us though, these hangovers you're talking about, I think then it's like, well, now what? It's the scariest feeling. So I love the looking for the lesson. I love the finding the meaning. But do you think everybody can do that?
Yes. Yeah. I don't think everybody believes they can or knows how to, which is my mission.
They don't know how to.
They don't know how.
See it so much of the time.
It's to really, I mean, I would like long-term, my big like, career goal long-term is to get emotional processing into schools, like teaching kids early on how to deal with big feelings like disappointment and shame and anger and rage. And because we just stuff and bottle and distract, that's how we're taught to deal with emotions. And so as adults, these big things happen in our life. You know, we lose someone, we lose a job, we're having financial difficulty, and people are dealing with really massive expectation hangovers, like huge disappointments where, you know, they're even contemplating whether they want to, you know, live anymore. Yeah. And they just have no tools at all to deal with the emotional overwhelm that's coming up. And the only tool that people have is numbing and distracting. You know, that's why we have such an epidemic of obesity and alcoholism and all the isms. And we saw in this past year, how everything skyrocketed in terms of the isms and the addictions and everything, because people were so triggered and people had so much disappointment to deal with, and they did not have the tools. So I think everybody can. It's just, first of all, it's easier to distract and numb. It's easier for me when I'm upset to go turn on my TV and sit down and eat some plantain chips than it is to go and get my journal and have a cry and process things. You know, it's so much easier to switch off.
Or to take a Xanax, like this is where all that stuff. Yeah.
Yes. Totally. Oh, I remember the first, I got LASIK and they gave me a Valium and I was like, oh my God, don't give me another one of these because this is fantastic. Like, this is amazing. And the cool thing is, because like, this is my life's work, I'm able to get into those Xanax feelings without the Xanax, because I know how to navigate the big feelings and get to a place of that calm. Now it has taken a while to get there because I'm wired with a lot of anxiety and OCD type thinking, and I'm wired pretty hard. So it's taken me years to get to like being able to relax and surrender, which is why I love teaching this, because I'm like, okay, if I can do it, then you know, I can definitely help you get there. It's not the easy route.
No, it isn't the easy route, but it seems to be the only way through it. It's like, if you're in hell, keep going. Instead of like taking a nap in the middle of an inferno,
right?
You know, I often I'm not afraid to do the work personally, but I do have blind spots. I think
I'll do.
And we all do, which is where I'm in therapy. People have coaches like yourself. And I think it also feels like if you have kids, you can't fall apart, you know, or like you have a job, yeah. You have to hold all these things up in the air and you're going to fall apart. Like there's no room to fall apart.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, my kids have just this past year, moving to Miami was such a thing.
Yeah. It's a big change.
I was going to make it perfect when they got here, dude. Perfect. There were going to be floaties in the fucking pool and there was a ping pong table and a trampoline and there were going to be jet skis outside and their rooms were going to be like Disneyland and all new everything. And it was like, everything was going to be good. All the stress and all the upset and all of it was, and it could not have gone more just be more like I looked at the kids and I was like, as we're dealing with the fallout of like long story short, but somebody who'd been with the family 10 years was on the plane with the kids, relapses on crystal meth. I get calls from his, but it was a disaster. Like literally out of it, you're like, this can't be happening. Right. The craziest shit that everything's a mess. And I was like, I am so sorry. You guys, cause I couldn't even think. I told my kids, I was like, I'm so sorry, you guys. I'm absolutely knocked for a loop right now. Like, this is not how I wanted this to go. And we all were kind of just like reeling because it was like the craziest day ever. But I find that like I had the highest expectations and it couldn't have gone worse. What I wanted to do was just completely melt down. And yeah. I couldn't because they were with me. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I think this is like, where do I find the room to unravel?
Yeah.
There's so much I want them to see because it's like, it's okay to have feelings. But then there's some of it that you're like, shit, like, where's the, where's the room to unravel?
It's there. And unraveling doesn't have to look like a 6 to 24 hour process where you need to be like isolated and, you know, sharp objects need to be removed from the room. It doesn't have to be this intense thing. So,
good point, Christine. Yeah. Good point. Okay.
And you're right. Woo. Like, it's good for you to see your kids to see you and your words fall apart sometimes. Like,
holy mama.
It's good for them
to fall apart.
Well, and you had, only do you have these massive expectations, but like there was so much emotional charge. It wasn't just like everything was great and you wanted their room to be like Disneyland. There was emotional charge and compensation and trying to make up and this huge expectation on yourself to be perfect. So not only were you dealing with the disappointment, but you were dealing with this just pressure you were putting on yourself at the same time. So it was like a double whammy.
And it was like, what is the lesson, mama? Like it can't just be, you're not in control. Like, is it that you're enough anyway? Cause the whole thing was awful. Like that's where I just can't even dig through it. It's such a mess. Do you know what I'm saying?
Not that
we could do it in one, but like.
To me, it would be looking at the perfectionism piece and looking at like why you do that to yourself and why you think that's necessary and going, how can I like move into just more, and I'm not saying you're not this, but move into just more authenticity and really being real and like let go of trying to make up for things with the perfectionism. Like to me, that pressure you put on yourself,
that's
the lesson because like your kids love you so much. You deserve love. Like you have nothing to prove. And there's the piece in you that thinks you do. And that's the piece I'd look at. And in terms of that moment where you just like are overwhelmed, what I tell especially parents is just go in the bathroom and like shake and make some sounds and just like shake, just get it out of your body. Cause oftentimes just moving the energy like that for 30 seconds, that's all you need. Like every parent can be like, I have to pee and go in the bathroom and just like shake it out. Or go in your car, drive far away and just scream as loud as you can. Like sometimes we just need those release moments and then we can get to the processing. That's one thing I've learned, you know, especially coaching people this long is like suppression happens when we just distract and pretend everything's okay. The best thing we can do in a moment when there's charge is to give ourselves some kind of release, a scream, a shake in the bathroom, hitting a pillow. It can be super short just to get that intensity out. And then later when there's time and space, we can do more of the processing and the investigating and all that kind of stuff. But when we try to hold it together and there's no release, that's what just lodges it into the body and makes us feel like we're in a pressure cooker.
You know, you're absolutely right about that perfection thing. You're spot on there. And that's something that because I'm authentic with my messaging. I don't give a shit what anyone thinks of me. I'm like, I don't care if you like me or you don't like me. You know, being overweight's going to kill you. I don't care if you want to cancel me for saying that. Like, you know, that's because it's actually not about me. It's just fact. So it has nothing to do with I don't care if a stranger likes me or not. I'm like, this is the truth of health and wellness. Yes. Like, it has nothing to do with me. But you're completely right that in my personal relationships, it's like, how can I make everything perfect, be superhuman, be the best girlfriend or the best mom, and then it never can be perfect?
I know.
And I guess you're right. It's like dealing with what does that actually mean? Like,
yeah. And I said authentic, but maybe the better word would be vulnerable. You know, and vulnerability is not weak. It's so freaking brave. It's a brave, like Brené Brown talks about this all the time. Vulnerability is the bravest thing we can do. And just like really being vulnerable and saying, kids, look, I know this is a big move. I wanted everything to be perfect. I'm nervous about how you're feeling about moving here. You know, it's just that vulnerability that I have found the people closest to us, that's what they want most. Not for everything to be perfect, but for things just to be intimate.
Oh my God, you're so right, Ed. Which is why you're a master coach. and with that said, I am convinced that everybody listening to this will relate to one aspect of this or another. Mm. And the bigger conversation is get the book. It's called Expectation Hangover. Free yourself from your past, change your present, and get what you really want. And of course, you can go to christinehassler.com for all things that you're doing, workshops, but the podcast. And I always, I love that there are, I hate to say the word free, but start there then. Right? It's like, well, I don't want to pay for this. I don't want to pay for that. Listen to the podcast over it and on with it and dip your toe in the water for free. And you take questions there and emails and you speak to people. So where can they submit questions, Mama? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So it's two episodes a week. One is an interview where I just talk. And then one is an unscripted, unedited, unproduced coaching session. So people just schedule a time with me to call in and we just dive in. And, you know, people have actually replaced therapy with this podcast because I coach and then I explain at the end why I did what I did. And it's everything. I mean, everything you can imagine, from relationships to money, to parent stuff, to being a parent, to self-worth, to perfectionism. And so you get to hear somebody kind of go through their process. And it's a beautiful way to learn because I've learned that, you know, I learned so much by watching someone else be coached because my defenses are down.
Sure.
And I often get the best insights when I'm listening to someone who I think I may have nothing in common with, but then like I can connect a dot. And so that's really what this show helps people with is to learn about personal development, psychology, and all of those things by watching somebody else go through a session. So it's a really cool way to learn.
You exceed expectations, friend. So that's nice. I did have an expectation.
But
you would be amazing. And you were amazing. So there's that. Guys, get the book. Go to christinehassler.com. Listen to the podcast over it and on with it. And Mama, come back. I'm going to hit you with 10 different things. I think you're amazing.
I love talking
Thank
to you.
You so
Likewise.
Much.
My pleasure.
All right, guys, we want you to subscribe to the podcast so you can stay up to date with our life-changing and life-saving information. So on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you're listening, click that subscribe button.